Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, now. And we'll go to the book of Proverbs tonight again, as we are going through some various subjects, different subjects in Proverbs. Proverbs series titled, Wisdom, the Winning Way. If we want to win, if we want to be successful Christians, we need to be people of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is saturated with wisdom. That was what Solomon was saying. God, of course, leading him as if he were talking to a child, a son, and giving him instructions. The application would, for the most part, apply not only to sons, but it would apply to daughters as well. And many of these things, of course, apply to us tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, if you'll turn there. And tonight we're going to deal with the correction of children. See what the Bible has to say about the correction of children. Proverbs 13:24, the Bible says, He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now go to chapter 19, if you would. Turn there. I'm just going to give you a few verses here that we have in Proverbs to establish the groundwork for it. Chapter 19, verse 18 says, Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now let's go to chapter 22 and verse 6. This is one most of us are already very familiar with. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Look at verse 15. A principle of the Word of God. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him, according to the Scriptures. Now in chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, we'll let these be our last verses we'll read. We'll come back to them. But he says, Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I always think that's a funny verse. I didn't think it was funny when my mom and daddy were whipping me, but thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. It all enters into it. It's part of it. There is today a false idea that is being taught and purported, and that is this, that abundant love to children makes discipline unnecessary. If you just love them and express that love, many a mother and many a daddy have failed. And their children, they're reaping that now because, and we'll mention more of that, but because they felt like they didn't need to discipline them, or they disciplined them the wrong way, but especially when they thought that abundant love would make discipline unnecessary. That is untrue, and that is unbiblical. The Scripture says in Hebrews 12:6, For whom the Lord loveth, and anyone that is his belongs to him, for whom the Lord loveth, he does what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Bible says that even though we belong to him and we're saved, he still, because he loves us, is going to have to give us a spanking. Any of you ever have a spanking from the Lord? Boy, I had my share of them. I remember especially in teenage days when I'd try to get away with something, it would seem like that, I might sneak out of town about 20 miles away, and before I'd get home, I'd run off in a ditch or have a flat tire or run out of gas or have to call daddy or something, you know. It just seems to go along with it. But God will chastise us, and God will spank us. And all of us have had spankings from God, no doubt, but it's because he loves us. And if you're living in sin and you have some sin in your life tonight, you won't give up and haven't given up. The Lord may have to spank you and chastise you, but when he does, understand that he's doing it because he loves you, not because he hates you. It's because he knows what's best for all of us. Let me quickly give you and allow me the time to read these. This is the Houston Police Department, 12 Rules for Raising Delinquent Children. If you'd like to have a copy of this, see one of the secretaries, and I'm sure they'll be glad to type it up for you. Number one says, and this is the Houston Police Department. Ms. Childress, you're listening, all right? Chief Childress. Begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants, he or she would be implied. When they're little babies, begin to give them everything that they want. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at them. This will make him think he's cute, and it'll be him or her. Never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. That's a very popular idea nowadays. I'm not going to brainwash my child. I'm going to let him just decide for himself or herself. That's not what the Bible teaches. Number four, avoid the use of the word wrong. Don't ever use the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he's arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he is being persecuted. You know, most every criminal is a victim of society. They've been reared wrong. That's where the problem comes in, and part of that probably is true. Fifthly, pick up everything he leaves lying around. You mothers listening? Pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Six, let him read any printed matter he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. That would also be email and television and all the other stuff. Number seven, quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. Fight. Quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be so shocked when the home is broken up later. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own. Child ought to be taught at an early age that you work for what you get. And you just don't overflow them with that stuff. Number nine, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. Number 10, take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. Boy, have they been taught well to think that. Number 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him. I never could do anything with him. Number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You will likely have it. Now, policemen got together and wrote that, and they should know a little bit about what they have seen and experienced. Let me just address dealing with rebellion. By the way, a parent is a partner with God in making disciples for God. A parent is a partner with God in making disciples for God. In fact, both words, discipline and disciple, come from the same root word. And if you're going to make disciples out of your children, you're going to have discipline, and we're working with God in order to make disciples out of them. And so, some parents think that love and discipline do not go together, that they are at odds with one another. And of course, I think the Bible teaches that is not true. Proverbs 13:24, one of the areas we read, he says in that verse, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. In other words, doesn't show real love for their children. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, just for clarification, when he's talking about discipline or chastisement or all that, he is not talking about parents crushing the spirit of your children. A lot of parents crush the spirit of their children because they do not discipline them right. And when we do that, that's unbiblical. And that can be done. What we're talking about here, and I think what God is talking about, is breaking and curbing their smart aleckness or their assertive will or their self-will and saying, you're not going to discipline me. You're not going to be in charge of my life. It isn't trying to break their spirit and ruin them and make them feel like they're dogs. And he says in that verse that we don't want to crush their spirit, but he that loveth him. We've got to show love when we discipline our children. By the way, this applies to grandparents and great-grandparents too. Since some of you in here are grandparents and great-grandparents, some of you still have children at home. So you say, well, what's he talking to us for? Because I know I've seen grandparents, and I know the tendencies that we grandparents have to let our grandchildren get away with murder and then send them back home. Amen. The word betimes here, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And that word in the Hebrew means actually dawn or early. And what it's saying is you need to get with it early in life. You need to chastise your children early in life and not let them get a pattern outside of it. Do it very early in life. Chastise them according to the Word of God. Now, when he says chastise, he says use the rod. Use the rod. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. How are we going to chasten our children? With a rod. What is the rod? Well, it can be a number of different things, but for sure it can be a switch. And if you were to study the original word rod, it would imply a limb or a rod or staff or something that was used. And that could be used and would be the very most proper thing to use according to the Bible on your child. Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, a great Methodist of years ago, when Methodism was far more conservative, of course, as far as a mainline denomination. But she practiced this early in life, and that was very important to her. Self-will was broken, and she felt like it needed to be broken by the parent. And of course, I'm sure her husband was involved in that, but primarily she had so much of the responsibility, as many mothers do, because dad sets up the principles and then dad is gone all the time. Doesn't mean that he always has to do the chastening. Certainly I think he should do some of it. But here was one of her rules called the plan of education. And this is a quote from her. When turned a year old and some before, they were taught to fear the rod and to cry softly, by which means they escaped abundance of correction which they might otherwise have had. In order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer their will. And that's true. I believe the Bible backs that up. Now, a word about consistency. You know, most of us, it's sort of like our shoulders. We usually sit around slumped. That's just human a tendency. And so it is in discipline. The human tendency is not to be consistent. But I believe that consistency is very, very important in the matter of discipline. It's very important to be consistent. If it was wrong last week, it's wrong this week. If it deserved a whipping last week, then it deserves a whipping this week. And you can't let it pass. There has to be consistency. And I believe personally it's one of the most important ingredients and yet one of the hardest to maintain. And yet it needs to be. There must be consistency. And if you don't discipline with consistency, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or your children, you're going to confuse them. They're not going to know what is right or what is wrong. Proverbs 22:15, the Bible says in that verse, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, that has, number one, the problem, and has, number two, the correction for the problem. Now, what is the problem? Look at the problem, Proverbs 22:15. The problem is foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, place your child or your children's names right there because it fits. I don't care who they are, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Primarily, that word is dealing, when it deals with a child, it's talking about from birth right on through adolescence until they become mature, or what we would call master, and when they come to that age of responsibility. But it incorporates a lot of that. But here's the problem. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so you can put your child's name there and know that it would be correct. Again, he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Now, the word foolishness there, parents, does not mean that they can't have some fun. I know a lot of parents that think children ought to be 25-year-old adults, and they shouldn't have any fun whatsoever. And they try to make adults out of them when they're 5 and 6 years of age. And I don't think that's the best. The foolishness he's not talking about here, lightheartedness sometimes, or having a sense of humor. Some kids are so funny, aren't they? And God must have a sense of humor. He made some of them, including us. But some are just humorous. That's just their nature. And some are a little more mischievous than others. But I don't think he's talking about some fun, lightheartedness, sense of humor, and all of that. But in the Bible, when he's talking about a fool or foolishness, in fact, when they would grow up in the Old Testament, if they were fools and foolish, they would stone them to death. That's exactly what was required by the law. I'm glad we're under what we call New Testament grace. I'd have probably been killed a long time ago. But he's talking about those who despise wisdom and those who despise correction and those who do not respect God. They are foolish. And they're foolish to not respect their mother and their daddy and all of that. They despise correction. Now, what's going to remove that foolishness? Foolishness is there. It is bound in the heart of a child. What's going to remove it? Well, the solution is in part two. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's Bible. A spanking, a whipping. The rod of correction will drive this foolishness, this despising wisdom and all of that from him. Now, the thing that's going to remove it, I think we've got to admit, and the solution is that there are spankings, and I know that's not popular, but it has to be done because it is biblical. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an older child, boy, who's not interested in spiritual things? Some of us would have to say yes, perhaps. Could it be because you failed to apply consistent, painful discipline to that child and never really taught him? You know, the relationship a child has with their father and relationship with discipline has a whole lot to do with how they look at God and how they respond to God. And so sometimes I believe it's the fact that they, when they have not done that, when they come to age, they reject all of those things of God. Proverbs 23:13. Scripture says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. He won't die if you give him a spanking with a switch. He's not going to die. Now, he'll cry like it, probably. And that's to try to get sympathy out of mama or daddy or whoever's doing it. A lot of times when we think of these words, beatest him, we think of some mean, big, 6'6" brute, beast guy who's really going to just batter a child and going to whip them and misuse his physical power. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about getting a rod or a switch or something appropriate. I read about an evangelist whose folks had a little long board, and his mother had them print on there, "I need thee every hour." And he said, I wonder if she was talking about the fact that she would need the paddle every hour or if she needed the Lord every hour. And he said, I found out what the truth was, that I needed the Lord every hour, and she used the paddle every hour she needed to. And so it may not necessarily be a peach tree limb. It could be a little paddle, or it could be a ping pong paddle or something like that. But he definitely, and listen and hear me well, because we get so criticized for this, saying it's old-fashioned and all of that, and it's out of date. We're not talking about child battering or child abuse. And that is practiced even among some Christians. And I've told you the story. I've had to deal with some of those things. I've had to deal with people who have, and I even hate to say it from the podium, standing here on this pulpit, I hate to say that, but I've had people I've had to deal with to get them help who were using a hot iron to burn their children to try to make them straighten out. That's brutality. That's not discipline. That's not love. That is absolute disgrace, in that we're not talking about child battering. There's no excuse for that. But there's no excuse for not using the proper instrument that God has spoken of to do what needs to be done so that the child can be reared in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to say something that's probably controversial, but I would say it's not best, and probably all of us have done this at some time, but it is not best, I think, as a general rule, to use your hand to spank with. The reason is they associate that with us. If you use a rod, they associate it with a rod. It's like I read about a little girl who had been paddled with a ping pong paddle, and then her daddy laid it up on the dresser, and he went on out, and they turned the lights out, and after a while she said, "Dad, Dad, come here a minute." He went in, he said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Would you take that paddle out of here? I don't like to see it." Well, see, if that was your hand, that would be the same attitude toward that. Now, I know that there may be some times that's the only available resource, but basically, I think it's not the best. And certainly, I would agree with this, that according to the Bible, in this idea of brutality and abuse and all of that, it is never wise to slap them with your hand upside their head. I have seen parents slap their children backwards until they staggered and do it publicly. And I don't think that is the right thing that God talks about. And I think sometimes a slap is so hard they lose their temper, and it really becomes, in a sense, some child abuse. Now, another area is discipline is more than a rod and a tongue lashing. Discipline is more than just using the rod and a tongue lashing. And I believe the Bible bears this out. You see, if you just use a rod and tongue lashing, many times it's going to exasperate or humiliate your child to the point of rebellion and hatred. And that may be a mistake that is made sometimes. And that's why dads gave us a firm warning in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Do not so mistreat them and tear them down and all of that and tongue lash them that you provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. There's a difference in breaking a child's spirit and disciplining a child. And some parents break their spirit. You're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. You greenhorn, plague on it and all that junk. You know, just lash out at them and tell them how sorry they are. I think we have to be very, very careful with that. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father. Now watch the wording. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. God corrects us because he loves us and he delights in us. And dads and moms, I think he's saying that we should delight in our child. You say, well, I can't discipline and delight in him. Yes, you can. You can use the rod, and when you get through using the rod, you can put your arm around them and tell them that you love them and that you delight in them, and explain, of course, some other things, but I think you can still let them know you delight in them. You're not rejecting them. You're rejecting the act that they did, but you love them. And I would say to any parents, your love needs to always continue as a a love that never dies, a love that is just a love like God has for us. And even though they break your heart and disappoint you, you just keep loving them and keep praying for them. It should be an unconditional love. That's the word I really am looking for, an unconditional love. And that doesn't mean, just like God's love for us is unconditional because we are in Christ, yet it doesn't mean he's not going to chastise us, but it doesn't mean he throws us out of the family, that he hates us and he does not delight in us. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. That gives us a clue about how we should chastise our children. And I still think it is wrong if they're black and blue and have a stinging tongue placed at them. The tongue, no matter how loud, no matter what it says, can never replace the biblical principle of the rod. Now, I remember one time, I've told you this story. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. A buddy of mine was, in fact, his name was Buddy Bradshaw, Willis Bradshaw. And we were out chopping cotton one day, just the two of us out in a large field. And I guess he was about 16, 17, I was about 15, and we were chopping along. I was probably holding him up a little bit because I didn't like to chop cotton too much. But his dad came out and he started running across the field, grabbed the hoe out of his hand and just beat him to the ground. Never told him why, none of that. He just came and he didn't think he was working fast enough. Well, that boy had a hard time. He joined the service as quickly as he could, and I don't know if he ever reconciled with his dad. I suppose he did. I've seen him since then. We didn't talk about that, but he's a Christian and a deacon in a church, so I would assume that he got some things right, but there was a long time that they were estranged, and I can remember that so well. And I mean, he beat him. I couldn't believe how much he beat him. And really and truly, I wanted to intervene, but didn't do it. But at any rate, I think that was an improper deal. And he really wasn't doing anything that wrong. Maybe chopping cotton a little too slow, but he could have talked to him about it. Now, that brings me to this thought, and that is we need to explain. Take time to explain to your children why you're going to give them a spanking. Take time to explain it to them. And by the way, you should have some prior instructions. You should sit down somewhere along the way and tell them, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. This is acceptable, this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable at home, it's not acceptable in public. It's acceptable at home, it is acceptable in public. Let them know what you expect, give them the guidelines, and make it very clear. Now, there might be some slip-ups, but let them know that some things are permissible and some things are not. And so, again, he says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. In other words, sit down and talk to them and explain and tell them about it. And then a second thing is, let them talk. Give them an opportunity to talk. Listen to what they have to say. And I don't mean a bunch of excuses to try to justify what they did, but deal with the act itself and let the children or grandchildren have the opportunity to talk. Now, not talk back. Don't let them talk back. I believe that would be unbiblical. That's one thing. I see kids talk back to their parents these days, and man, I'm astounded and amazed. I think I tried that once with my dad, and I believe that was the last time. And he didn't really have to whip me, but on that particular occasion. But I knew enough about the whole situation. I knew I'd crossed the boundary, and I started backing up real quick. But many times, it's good to let the children express themselves, talk, and say what they need to say. There may be a misunderstanding. I remember one time, my sister got in trouble because my mother thought she'd said a bad word. We were riding in the back of the car. She called out the name of the restaurant. She said, oh, look at there. And she called out the name of the restaurant. I'm not going to call it out, but she called it out. Well, it sounded like she used a bad word. And my mother took action pretty promptly. But she tried to explain, but my mother would never let her explain. I tried to explain, and she just didn't want to hear any of it. But my sister was absolutely, totally innocent on that occasion. Sometimes it's good to listen to them. I think also a good thing is to discipline them in private. I just think God would be more pleased if you discipline them in private. I've seen a lot of parents, and you can't hardly do that anymore. I don't agree with some of those laws and things, but sometimes it's very humiliating to jerk them up in a public restaurant or somewhere, or even in a church service, and discipline them in public. I think it's better to do it in private. I think that would be in line with the love principle that God gives us. Then I think we have to sometimes break their will, just like some that have said that that was part of what had to be done. Charles Wesley's mother. The will has to be broken, because foolishness is bound up in a child, the Bible says, and their will has to be broken. That means there may be occasions, moms and dads, and even grandparents, that you may have to whip them not only one time, but maybe three or four times right in a row. You say, well, that's cruel. Well, no, not really. I think it's biblical, because the Bible says you need to break their will. And sometimes you have to give them a spanking for the disobedient act, but then you have to spank them two or three more times because of the attitude they have after they got the spanking, because their will is not broken. I remember we had a group called Life Action that had been at our church, and they had a lot of material on the family. And one of our ladies had a young fellow, I can't remember how old he was, 6, 7, something like that. And she called me and she said, Pastor, what am I going to do? And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, I whipped him, but he won't even cry. I said, he's just obstinate, and his will is not broken. And she said, Life Action said, you got to break the will. I said, well, I agree. I think that's a Bible principle. So break his will. And she called me back later and said she got the job done. And by the way, that young man serves the Lord in this area, and he is on a staff at an independent fundamental Baptist church and doing a great job. But I'm glad she broke his will way back there, and she probably did the wise thing. And it took her more than one time to get through to him. But sometimes it's for the rage and anger that they have. Now let me just say this in closing: discipline takes time. And that's what people don't want to do, is invest their time. I'm too busy. I'm in too much of a hurry. I've got to go to work. I've got this. I've got this sports thing. I've got that. I've got the other. I've got a club I'm going to. I've got golf I got to play. I've got whatever it is, 101 different things. I just want to ask you this. Where are your priorities, dads and mothers, grandparents? Where are our priorities? I think we need to make up our mind and determine that we're going to give to society a good product. Talking about our children. Respect for authority. Children that don't respect authority, I do not understand that, except somewhere along the way their parents have not taught them right. Secondly, submissiveness in their spirit. And thirdly, a great assurance of your love to them, that you really and truly still love them. As I said, we're partners in making disciples of our children. And the word comes from the same root word, discipleship, discipline. And if we're going to do what God tells us to do, we must practice. And God said, you're not going to kill them. You're going to get rid of some of that foolishness. You're going to break their spirit. You're going to help them to respect God. And you're going to do a great job. And in one place he says, even keeping them from dying and going to hell. I'd say that'd be worth it, wouldn't you? Let's stand, please. May I remind you that the application is to all of us tonight, because we who are saved are God's children. Number one, I just say, if we've got something wrong and we don't get it right, you can count on it. God's going to lay it on to you somewhere along the way, because he loves you. That's why you need to straighten it out tonight. Or if he is chastising you right now, admit it and just come to grips with why it's happening. You know why it's happening. Deal with it. But remember, God loves you and He wants to help you. And then, parents, may we be admonished from something very practical from the Word of God of how to deal with our children and grandchildren. Father, thank You for the Bible. It is our guidebook. It is our book of instruction in every phase and facet of life. Thank You for the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. Thank You for anointing and guiding and leading, God, that You've preserved it to us tonight, and we can believe what the Bible says, that we're not governed by culture or time changes or changes in things in time, but we're governed by this book above and beyond all other things in our life. And help us to practice those things, knowing that You'll bless it, You'll honor it, and our society, our homes, our churches will all be better off if we practice the Word of God. Help us who are Your children to know Your love even when You chastise us, to know that the purpose is to get us right with You. In Jesus' name, amen.